The Treasury Salute, featuring Ben Grauer and Peter Capell in a specially transcribed drama, What Makes an American? And now the Treasury Salute. What makes an American?
What makes an American? That's a question you often hear asked. And you can hear quite a few different answers, too. But it's not an easy question to answer.
It's not, huh? Well, what do you mean? Look here, mister, I can answer. I'll tell you what makes an American.
Go ahead.
Well, if your forefathers came over on the Mayflower and your family's been hanging out in the USA for generations, that makes you an American.
I'm sorry, my friend, that's not the way I look at it. It doesn't tell the whole story, not by a long shot. You see, I know a lot of good Americans who can't lay claim to ancestors like that. Americans like
Kolaski, Markowitz, Von Busch, Hogarty, De Frontenac, Vassaloni, DiMaggio.
That'll do. Thank you. We get the idea. You see, folks, you can't give an easy answer to this question of what makes an American. It's not the case of where you were born. It's got a lot of other things tied in with it. For instance, take the case of Fred Speier. Now, there's an American. A real two-fisted, fighting American.
Did his folks come over on the Mayflower?
Not by a long shot. In fact, Fred Speier landed in New York not so many years ago without any folks at all. He was a young chap in his late teens, and in his eyes, there was a look of sadness. For he had seen at first hand the terror that was Nazi Germany. He put it this way when he talked to the American family that had taken him in.
It's good of you people to offer me a home.
Not at all, Fred. As you know, your father and I were very good friends years ago.
Yes.
Tell me, Fred, when do you expect your people to join you over here?
That's hard to say. Many of my relatives are prisoners of the Nazis. I was fortunate to be able to get out myself.
Yes. And fortunately, you already know our language. I think you'll get along in America real well.
Yes. I believe I will. Just being here. Just walking down the street. Not having to fear every uniform you see. I can't tell you what an experience that is. I feel like I was really living for the first time.
Well, the years went by, and over in Germany, this terror Fred Speier had known boiled over, and World War II was launched. Here in America, Fred Speier reacted just like so many good Americans around him.
All right, next man. Name?
Fred Speier.
Got your papers from the draft board?
Yes, sir. But I'm not being drafted. I want to enlist.
Good. Now, where were you born?
In Germany.
Germany? I see. How long you been in America?
Several years. Long enough to think and act like an American.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mr. Speier, your papers look all right. Get on the end of that line. The camp bus is pulling out any minute.
So, Fred Speier went to Army camp, along with a lot of GIs from Chicopee, Mass., Scranton, PA, and Texarkana, Texas. And strangely enough, there were a few things he could tell these American-born soldiers.
Oh, boy, he can really...
Hey, listen to that, will you? He don't play a bad piano.
Yeah, that apple's all right. That's real Southside Chicago swing he's playing. Yeah.
Chicago nothing, man. What? That's Dixieland style.
Are you kidding?
Oh, yes, sir. I learned that down home in Mobile. Oh, no, boy. Chicago style ain't there at all.
Oh, go away.
How about it, Spy? What do you say?
Well,
I really wouldn't know.
Oh, how come? I figured you were Southerner, boy.
Yeah, so nah, Spy was born and raised up in New York, weren't you, Fred?
No. As a matter of fact, I was born overseas.
Oh, hey, no kidding.
No, where?
In Germany.
Germany? Well, I guess you're one of those Germans who didn't like Hitler, right?
Right.
Well, maybe that's why you take this army training kind of serious, Fred. You want to get back at them Nazis?
That's the idea.
Well, good for you, Speier. We're going to knock those Germans out of the war in no time.
Yeah, and the Japs, too.
Don't be too sure about that.
Oh, those dictator nations can't fight with a dollar, boy.
I'm afraid you're going to find out differently.
Yes, Fred Spire, you had something there. Those buddies of yours would find out how right you were. Some of them gave their lives in making the discovery.
Men, I'm giving it to you straight. This isn't going to be any picnic. Our job is to seize the east coast of Leyte, to dig in and hold on at any cost. Now, good luck and good hunting.
Corporal Spire?
Yes, sir.
Take your squad up forward. If you meet any Japs on the way, eliminate them. Is that clear?
Yes, Lieutenant.
Dig in along the front and hold your ground.
And like a good American, Fred Spire held it. He and his group dug in and stayed put, despite wave after wave of Jap Bettys that came over dive-bombing their position. And then it happened. The bomb struck so close it was deafening. For a moment, Fred Spire caught a glimpse of blinding light and flying wreckage. Then it was as though the world had fallen on top of him. Dirt, sand, and loose rock came piling down upon his prostrate form. Finally, all that was left in view was a mound of tangled debris with the muzzle of Fred Spire's rifle sticking grotesquely out of the heap. That rifle was awfully important to Fred Spire, for its hollow barrel was a source of precious air. Yes, Fred Spire, buried under a bomb-made avalanche, had one link with life, his rifle that protruded above his earthen tomb. And so his ordeal began, the ordeal of 29 hours spent buried alive.
I only could pick out, but the sand is so loose, I keep slipping down, down. Can't breathe so well anymore. Earl must be slipping down into the dirt. Can't last long. Can't last long.
Easy there, easy, Mac. You don't want to hurt this guy buried down there.
Okay, Joe. I figure here's one GI must be beyond hurting.
Oh, maybe. Holy mackerel. He must be buried under a ton of stuff.
Yeah, you ain't kidding.
Hey, look out. There's an arm sticking up.
Okay, let's get him out of here.
Carefully, they carried Corporal Spire back to the field hospital. His inert form was placed on a cot. A doctor leaned over, adjusted the stethoscope.
There. You're going to be all right.
Doctor. Doctor.
What is it, Corporal?
I seem to...
Yes, now just lie still.
I can't. That's the trouble, Doctor. I'm shaking. My hands are trembling. I just can't keep them still.
And so this man who had proved himself an American, ready to die for his beliefs, found a new and terrifying ordeal to face.
Corporal Fred Spire transferred to the States for further medical care. Destination, Mason General Hospital, Brentwood, Long Island.
Well, good morning, Spire. How do you feel today?
I don't know, Doctor. I can't stop trembling. I try and try, but it doesn't seem to do any good. I can't shake myself. Sometimes I can't even eat. My hands shake so.
When did you start this trembling?
After they bugged me out of that foxhole, I was bruised and they said I had a concussion. And I thought it would stop when I got over that. But it doesn't stop. It gets worse.
Well, tell me about how it felt being buried all that time.
I can't talk about it. I just can't. Don't make me talk about it.
Well, that's all right, Spire. Look, I'm going to give you some medicine, a shot in your arm. It won't put you all the way to sleep, but it'll relax you, and then you can talk. Yes, Spire, go on. What are you thinking about now?
The dirt. I can't get it off. I can't breathe so well. Rifle barrel must be slipping down. I can't last much longer. The dirt. I can't get it off. I can't dig out.
Why are you shaking your head and trembling?
The dirt. I can't get it off.
I can't get it off. Got to dig out.
But there's no dirt on you now, Spire. You're not in that foxhole any longer.
Yes. Yes, that's right. I don't have to tremble any longer.
Yes, Corporal Fred Spire's trembling became much less noticeable. And after a few more treatments, it stopped altogether. The doctors then even redoubled their efforts, used many different therapies, including the therapy of occupational work that would give Spire added interests and incentives. And finally...
Doctor, I feel fine. See? I don't tremble at all. I'm well now, and I'm ready to go out and get a job.
And Fred Spire did just that. Today, he has a job. He's doing his bit to build the kind of America all of us want. What makes an American? Fred Spire has the answer. Listen.
I figure you're an American if you're proud to live here and breathe the good American air and hold your head up like a man. If our American way of life and our democracy means enough to you, then you'll be willing to go out and fight to preserve it. If you believe in the things America stands for, you're willing to back them up with your life. And I don't care what your name is. I don't care where you were born. If you have these feelings, then that's enough for me. I figure that's what makes an American.
There's nothing more American than a United States savings bond. Where else in the world is it possible to buy something as safe as this investment? Nowhere. Where else in the world can you find an investment which helps your country do a job now, while at the same time you're providing for yourself, for your future, and that of your family and your country? If you're on the payroll plan now, by all means, stay on it. If you're not, get on the payroll plan right away. Start next payday laying aside a certain percentage of every dollar you earn. And see that you buy U.S. savings bonds regularly. They still pay $4 for every $3 invested. They still are your safeguard for the future. They still are the best investment in the whole world. It was our war. We saw it through. Now buy more bonds and hold them, too. The United States Treasury thanks Ben Grauer, Peter Capell, and the other distinguished artists who appeared on the specially transcribed program. The Treasury salute was written by Richard Dana and directed by Mark Goodson. The music was under the direction of Mark Warnow. This is Albert Groby speaking. Remember, buy United States savings bonds and hold them. They are an investment in the future, your country's future, and your future.